Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Cohen. I'm from Prevention Institute in Oakland, and we work on a number of different issues, violence prevention being one of them, and like to take the learnings from one, apply it to others, whether it's work we've done on tobacco or violence or unintentional injury, car traffic safety, for example, or nutrition or physical activity, and say, how do we really kind of build coherent strategy? Last night I was turning on the TV because the basketball team I support, Golden State Warriors, had a very nice victory, and I was looking for the photographs to see it, and instead found yet another shooting going on. It seems like they're pretty much weekly now. You know, the tragedy of all this is that we know what to do. We don't know everything to do. I think that all these presentations and your presence here is all about refinements in our strategy. But we have a general sense of what to do to start to prevent violence. It's incumbent on all of us to do that. And yet somehow, you know, as a nation, we're really not moving the work forward. At the same time, thinking back, and I think it's over 30 years ago that Howard and I were in partnership, him doing work here in Boston, I working on the West Coast in Northern California, right outside San Francisco. I guess we were about 7 or 8 years old then. And it was very important. It was a bit of a trick, I think, when I said, okay, Boston, California, we'll call it a national partnership. We're going to say this is national. Because it was very important to say that we needed a national movement. We needed national momentum. And now we have, as represented by this panel, true national momentum and lots of pieces of work happening in different places of the country. And that's a way in which we're really achieving success. At this conference, I've been quoting Albert Einstein, who says that, you know, people can solve problems, but it's geniuses that prevent them. And really making the point that in violence prevention, we no longer need geniuses to prevent violence. We know what to do. We need to build a movement. We need to take steps. We need to refine our work. But we have the capacity right now to make a difference. And it's a terrible tragedy, the extent in which we're not achieving that capacity. And we're really, really living in a culture of violence. We're living in a culture where we take violence for granted. And we're not living in a culture where we're taking resilience for granted. There's a photograph we did from a Photo Voice project, a 13-year-old girl in a low-income part of Orange County, which is one of the wealthiest counties in the United States, Orange County, California, and she's staring in at a fenced-in vacant lot, and she says, we could use this as a place to play sports. We could be safe here. We could be active here. We could be healthy here. The bond is broken. A 13-year-old child looking at the fence and saying, the bond is broken. That's the bond with us. That's the responsibility that we have. And as the Institute of Medicine put it so clearly, it's unreasonable to expect that people will change their behavior easily when so many forces in the social, cultural, and physical environment conspire against those changes. And I'm sharing this slide as well because it's a tool for all of us, because it's the Institute of Medicine saying it so clearly. If we don't change our environments, if we don't change our partnerships, if we don't change our ways of working, it's unreasonable to expect that we're not going to have, turn on the TV, probably more and more. And of course, what we're hearing about are the macro shootings. We're not hearing about the day-to-day, often in low-income community of color, youth being the victims day after day after day. Those hardly even get mentioned. So I want to share with you our Unity work. Unity was an idea created by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They've provided the core support for our work for the past 8 years. That support has now ended. I have to say personally and unselfishly, this is a horrible tragedy because this is work that must go on. It's work to try and build momentum across the United States with the notion that the unit of analysis, the unit of approach, is cities. That when cities own the problem of violence, we can make tremendous progress. And we have two cities we've worked with closely here and national partners who have really moved the work forward in the most collaborative, thoughtful, and creative ways. And that's you know, it's something that certainly I wouldn't attribute credit to it, but I would say we've contributed. You know, the contribution has been there. And the core of Unity is sitting here with me today. Rachel Davis has been the director of the Unity Project and has managed that work intensively and brilliantly over the last 8 years. And Billy Weiss, who is a co-chair along with me and Deborah Protreau-Stith of Unity, and also has conducted our evaluations. And I'll be sharing some information from that as we move forward. So you can see who the lead partners are. We've had a national consortium and steering committee and a Unity City network. And as I say, we have two of those cities here with us. One core piece, and I'm starting with this first because the abstract was written about the Unity Roadmap, so let's talk about the Unity Roadmap. But one core piece was the notion that we need a roadmap, that it's not any one thing is going to make the difference, but it's a comprehensive set of strategies. So it looks at partnerships, as Theron was mentioning. It looks at strategy, and it looks at prevention. What came up from the very beginning was the notion of a coordinated approach. We're hearing coordination again and again. The most important finding when we did our initial interviews, which Billy led, was that cities with not the greatest program, not the greatest law enforcement strategy, cities with the greatest coordination, community, government, and coordination across sectors, those were the cities that had the lowest rates of youth violence. And that means we really need to focus then on partnerships. And we need to focus then on a comprehensive approach, population-based, focused on prevention, that, as I said earlier, not only reduces risks, but really pays attention to the protective factors. And finally, we have the element of prevention and the element of strategy. Without thoughtful strategy, we're not going to achieve. And we see so many cities that say, God, it's an emergency, let's do something right now, without being thoughtful about what's going to work, or without building. One of the greatest things about Unity for me has not been any central thinking. It's been the interaction and conversations between cities, sharing with one another what works, and then modifying for the difference in cities, for the particularities of cities, how that might work in a different place. So we created the notion of a policy platform, because you don't make change without policy. You don't make change just from program. You don't make change unless it's sustainable. And we prioritize programs locally, but we came up with a set of strategies and programmatic approaches that the entire Unity group of cities identified as really, really important ones. And perhaps most important to go with that was what we called an urban agenda. An urban agenda, I'll just speak frankly now because this is a group of friends and it's confidential. An urban agenda was an attempt to influence the federal government. An urban agenda was an attempt to appropriately raise our voices and say, wait a minute, there must be change in this country. You know, I went to people like the Office of Management and Budget and said, you know, we know what to do to prevent violence. We're not putting in the resources and we're not putting in the effort to do that. We must. And there was a lot of head nodding, and frankly, if there wasn't some of the political things that have happened in this country, I think we'd have been even more successful. But we have an agenda. We know what to do. It's just a question of doing it. An example was Baltimore, which transformed zoning, understanding that violence is in all policies. Violence is in place. Violence is in design. In Oakland, there was a measure, two measures, Y and BB, where we live, which was an effective increase in taxes that generated $6 million a year to go for youth programs, not programs already in place. We were very careful to say the money must go for new efforts and new initiatives. Cure Violence in Chicago, more on the intervention side, but the crossover between intervention and prevention, and now Cure Violence is in many cities across the country. And for the most part, they're working on interruption, because we know so much of violence is people who know each other. So much of violence is really a repetitive chronic disease, and Gary Sluck in the Head understands it brilliantly as someone who before this worked on HIV in Africa, and has dramatically dropped, in particular, retaliation murders. But what he's after, and what we're all after, is not just those individual murders, important as they are, but changes in norms in the cities, where violence is no longer the way we solve problems. Minneapolis looked at an entire way of working across cities, and we saw a 64% drop in homicides among young people over the period of the last couple of years. So a couple of things we learned from the assessment and evaluation: the importance of partnership. We saw partnerships grow as we just completed this evaluation, about a month ago, right? Yeah. And we saw partnerships increase collaboration across sectors as a result of the unity work. It's hard to say exactly what did it, but I think it's really the combination of things. Nearly 90% of the cities we worked with had strategic plans which reflected health department input. Health department is shorthand for a notion of prevention strategy. All Unity cities either have a strategic plan or we're developing them. And 85% of the cities were coherently using the Unity roadmap. So can we end the epidemic? We can. It's up to us. As much as I'm saying we know what to do, there's a tremendous amount to learn as well. One of the most important areas to move forward on is trauma. This was a New York Times picture when Sarajevo was at war, because what you see is what you get. And when you live in a violent society, you create more trauma. We need to figure out how to reverse and to solve that. We also need to identify, and Catherine said this earlier, we really need to identify better and build the ties, the ways in which violence affects other issues. You know, we know that people are less likely to walk. We know that people won't eat as well, won't take care of themselves as well. We know that rates of asthma are higher when we're living in violent communities. In fact, that's the trauma link as well, because we know that pretty much everything, every health issue, is affected negatively by violence. And as we were talking about earlier, Theron and I, it gets into our genes even. You know, it's not just a psychological or a sociological issue. It's actually a physical issue. And we see these links then between violence and chronic disease, violence and mental health, violence and learning. This was work we did in collaboration with Howard and CDC. And so we need to work from the perspective of a violence prevention lens, I called it earlier, violence prevention in all policies, to understand that different sectors have their own work to do, but we also need to think about what is it about transportation that makes a difference? Why is violence prevention important in transportation? So, for example, the DC Metro system was deliberately designed to reduce violence and serious crime. So there'd be more people using it, there'd be more people walking. Think about all the health and advantages. And it has about one-third the rates of violence and serious crime of similar transportation systems. It's simply a question of applying the violence prevention lens. It's simply a question of being strategic. We're working intensively right now with support from the Kresge Foundation on multi-sectoral approaches to violence. We have a tool which we call Collaboration Multiplier. It basically starts out as a grid and then turns into a strategy tool. But we've been using it for consultation for a number of years, but we said, wait a minute, it can't just be for us to use in consultation. This is something we need to provide to communities around the country. So we're about to come up with a rather extraordinary workbook focused on violence prevention, but it also works for a lot of other topics and series, and we will be promulgating this through our Unity abilities, despite losing our core Unity funding. Another thing where I think we really need to work, and this really, you know, groups like Defending Childhood really, really speak to this, is it's really time for us to get our act together on the different kinds of violence, speaking in one voice and having one set of strategies. I think we've done a reasonable job of understanding how the underlying causes and preconditions lead to different types of violence, how one type of violence leads to another type of violence. How if you grow up in a violent home, you know, the risks of other issues are going to be greater. Not that it's going to happen, but it increases risk. We understand interrelationships, but we don't have a strategy of action. We look to our mayors when there's violence in the streets. We don't look to our mayors when there's violence in the home. You know, we need all our voices together. Unless we raise all our voices together, we're not going to have the clout and the power to say, hey, we know what to do. Isn't it crazy? We know what to do. Everybody's marching for a cure for a lot of other issues. We know what to do in this case, and yet we're not doing it. We're not spending money, which in fact would be cost effective, which would have a greater return on investment than the cost. We also need to understand how norms relate. These are norms we've looked at in terms of family violence and sexual violence and child abuse. We've been working with those communities now for probably about 15 years or so on these norms, and we need to integrate the norms related to family violence and the norms related to street violence and say what is a comprehensive way, because we have an impact when we work on changing norms one community at a time. And we need to link violence and healthcare. Health reform is an incredible opportunity for violence prevention. I did a session on this yesterday. There is, for example, in healthcare, the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Innovation is funding $13 billion in what they call pilot studies to change the whole $300 billion of Medicare. We know it makes sense to reduce the trauma we see in our emergency departments and to reduce the death that never even gets to our emergency departments, and we need to build the strategies to effectively do so. We had a whole panel yesterday that was raising some of those strategies, though not, you know, we're not quite there yet. We have bits and pieces that are effective, and we can be even more so. And our community-centered health homes is part of the route to that, because in health reform, people are moving from kind of just the notion of health to the notion of patient-centered health homes. But with so many problems, including violence, really being community-wide problems, we need a community-wide notion of health. And finally, obviously, and we're all mirroring the same comments, we need to focus on collaboration. So as Deborah Prothero-Stith, our third chair, who's not here today, using her voice, violence is not the problem of one neighborhood or group. Coming together and owning this problem, all of us, and the solutions are central. So hope this was helpful. Please give me your card at the end. I'd like to add you to the database, and I'd like to share further information. Thank you all.